Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
What kind of a day is gold having?
Gold's having a terrible day. Silver, too. If you look at the miners, which is basically what I'm trading, gold miners are breaking down through the 50-day moving average on high volume. Now, yesterday was a bullish day on very high volume. Now we're having a bearish day on very high volume. But what we're seeing across the space is that the market is giving up on rate cuts this year. And as part of that, giving up on gold, silver, and the miners. I believe the market is wrong. We've we had a hot jobs number today, but we've also seen a story recently from Bloomberg that the jobs numbers, the monthly jobs numbers, have been overstated month after month after month. And the reason is because there are a lot of small businesses that go out of business due to high rates, and they aren't counted in the jobs numbers, the jobs they use. So the high rates are actually having a very bad effect on employment. It's just not being reflected in the official jobs numbers. Now, what number will the Fed care about when it makes a rate cut decision? Probably the big headline number, even though, for example, the household survey jobs number said that the number of jobs went down, despite the big beat in the official number. So that is kind of problematic, but I expect we'll have some bad news sooner than later. It'll put us on track for another cut in September. I expect two cuts this year. My view on that hasn't really changed, even despite today's action. And so therefore, while we are seeing gold and silver pull back, I expect we'll come down to support sooner than later. We're still seeing tremendous buying out of China. We also hear there's tremendous buying in Korea, other countries, including Turkey and stuff like that. There's a lot of gold buying around the world. And so, you know, this is a setback. Doesn't make me happy at all. I own a lot of gold and silver miners, but I'm not that worried about it either.
Gold and silver a good long-term bet then?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I think that this year is going to be very good for them, despite today's action. That's okay. You know, I mean, you just have to look beyond the next day, which the algorithms on Wall Street are incapable of doing. They simply cannot do that. They're only dealing with things from a day-to-day thing. But the big trend in gold and silver and the miners is up.
Buy the dips?
Oh, I would.
What about copper?
No, a funny thing happened there. Copper was taking off, and the funny thing is I had taken profits on a copper stock. I won't say before the rally happened, but I thought the rally had peaked. I was obviously way too early. So we took a gain. What was it, 15%? Nothing really to write home about. It's just I was kind of worried about the action in copper. So I said, let me book this gain. We'll have that money to play with somewhere else. I don't think copper's going anywhere. Then what happened? Copper just blasts off. I'm left sitting on the dock looking like a complete idiot. And then, well, let's say why that happened. There was a big mine in Panama that shut down due to the government saying shutting it down. That's being litigated. Good luck with that. There are potential strikes on and off in like Chile and stuff like that. And the demand side of copper is just, you know, huge. It's used for everything, including so-called green energy, stuff like that. So that's why copper took off. Why did copper pull back? You know, it happened at a time when the news was improving on the Chinese economy. So I thought, oh, well, it's the Chinese manipulating the market again. which they always do. They always manipulate the copper market. You can count on China doing that. But as it turns out, there is a build of copper stockpiles in China. Now, is this China manipulating the market by building, or at least announcing a build in the stockpiles so they can buy it cheaper? Or is there a real build in there, which would be a signal to, you know, there's some kind of problem developing in that market? We know that the Chinese government is providing more stimulus, but it's not on the consumer side, which is where housing would be. It's more on the building side, which includes some housing. They're making it easier to build and move condos, that kind of thing. But they're really trying to juice up exports. Again, I would think that would help copper, but it doesn't seem to be happening right now. If it seems like I'm focusing too much on China, that's because China is the world's number one user of copper. So you have to kind of take them into consideration no matter what you do. So I'm glad I didn't buy into the rally in copper, but I'm sure looking for a bottom, because I think that the trend in that should be quite good. We are, by the way, in a big commodity bull market. It started 3 years ago. Your listeners should keep that in mind. There's a whole bunch of charts and indicators I could show you about this, but nothing travels in a straight line. And right now what we're seeing is U.S. dollar strength. That's frankly due to the market outlook on Fed rate cuts. And as a result of U.S. dollar strength, because they're all priced in dollars, commodities are down. And so we zig higher, we zag lower. We're having a zag lower. If you've been in the markets as long as I am, you just see this as a buying opportunity. You should be owning quality names anyway. I always buy quality names, never the, you know, overnight flyers. Forget that crap. You'll just lose your shirt. Buy the quality names. So you already own quality names. They may be going down now, but you know it's going to be short term. And what you should be doing now is making a list of other stocks that you wished you'd bought before, but you are going to buy now on this pullback. That's what I would be doing.
Well, China seems to have a very big push for electric vehicles, and the typical electrical vehicle uses 277% more copper than an ICE-engined vehicle.
Yeah, and by ICE, we should tell listeners that's internal combustion engine, just in case they don't know that. Yeah. But your listeners probably do. They're smart people. They're hooked into what's going on. So never mind that. Forget I even said it. Just continue. I am sorry I interrupted.
Also with copper, AI, much like mining crypto, takes a terrific amount of power to work. Needs a lot of electricity.
I just gave my subscribers a presentation on this topic. What's going on with the U.S. electrical grid? Because these like big data centers that have been built but are now being turned into AI data centers, and the new data centers that they're building because they want to do a lot more AI and stuff. I mean, this is transforming the U.S. power picture. There are utilities that have talked about surprising jumps in consumer demand, and they trace it right back to these data centers. Because AI chips use a hell of a lot more juice than ordinary chips. And everything AI does, an AI search for something on the internet uses about 30 times more electricity than an ordinary Google search. So there is a big transformation coming in the U.S. power situation. The U.S. power situation. It'll be utilities, of course, which provide power. It's also the companies that are building out the grid, because we're going to have to build out the grid faster and even better now. There are companies that actually build the data centers. There's a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of potential in that area. I find it quite exciting. And if you're into hard assets the way I am, well, you know, these are things that are actually being built. They are hard assets. So it's a good way to play that, I think.
How are they going to meet this electrical demand? Are new generating stations being built? And if they are, what's powering them?
Most of them are natural gas. I had a great chart, which I showed my subscribers, showing how natural gas plants are increasing. And actually, that makes a lot of sense, because the U.S. has so much natural gas, and not only that, cheap natural gas. So much of it comes as a side product of like oil production. When when you produce oil, you get natural gas. So they end up with all this gas anyway. A lot of them used to flare it off because natural gas was so cheap, but the laws are changing, so now they actually have to pump it somewhere. There are companies involved in that, too. We're also investing in those. So most of them are natural gas. We will see some green energy as long as you can do storage, you know, because people will be using their servers at night. And also nuclear power. The U.S. government and other friendly governments are pushing for more nuclear power. Everything from the actual mining to the plant construction to things like that, processing. So that's because we don't want to be under Russia's thumb when it comes to nuclear energy. And nuclear energy, for all of people's hinkiness about it, is actually a very good power source. The new plants are excellent. They really are. They aren't like the old plants at all. So nuclear power is a part of the picture, but it's much more expensive and time-intensive to build a nuclear power plant than, say, a natural gas power plant. So that's why I am more focused on natural gas, especially because it's so cheap. No one expects it to rise. We've already had a nice rally in natural gas. I'm looking for a longer rally because this is lining up to be a very hot summer anyway, which means everyone's going to be using their air conditioning. And where are you going to get the juice to power the air conditioners? From the same place you're going to get the juice to power the AI data centers, you know? So it all has to come out of a power plant somewhere. And so I think that's a really exciting opportunity.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, the U.S. is going to ban the import of Russian uranium. Has that had any effect on the price of Big U?
It did initially, but now the price is down. Don't look at the spot price so much. It's the It's the contract price of uranium that you have to look at, which is lower than the spot price usually, but it's ratcheting up. And the new deals being made are at higher prices. And that's because they simply are wondering where they're going to get more uranium to fulfill these long-term contracts. So the spot price is down. That has weighed on uranium stocks. But the contracts that are being signed, the longer-term supply contracts, are higher and higher. So, you know, this is a buying opportunity there as well. Now, I have some uranium stocks that are getting hammered. So I'm not speaking as a disinterested observer. But you know what? I plan to buy more because what I have is a chart I made of all the uranium mines that will be coming online in like the next 5 years. There aren't nearly enough, by the way. They'll have to be solved by pricing structure. But those are the stocks I am buying. I'm not buying explorers, and I know many people like explorers for their own reasons, and good for them. I am buying those companies that either are producers or are near-term producers. And I think this is a bonanza time for them. And on any pullback, like a pullback we're seeing now, it's a time to buy.
Is marijuana going to be legalized in the U.S.?
At some point. I mean, you know, every time they announce something, we see a big rally in pot stocks, but that's mainly because of shorts closing out their positions. And then the pot stock starts to drift back lower. There's only one cannabis stock I own. It's in my personal portfolio. I have a small open gain. I'm not really worried about it. The reason I own it is because it makes money, which very few pot stocks do. It's not so much legalization that'll help those stocks. What'll help is banking reform and also tax reform. Those are the two things that those kinds of companies need to make them profitable. They need to be able to take the same deductions that any other business does, that'll be tax reform, and they need to be able to use normal banks. And those are the things that are also in the works. Focus on those more than when exactly they legalize cannabis, which they'll do sometime this year, probably right before the Republican convention, which is in August, because we saw the government say, well, we want to do this. There's always a question and answer period where, like, people can chime in about whether they think it's good or bad, all the usual suspects on either side are doing that right now. But that'll end in early August, which means that they'll probably announce the change in status for cannabis right before the Republican convention. I don't believe that's an accident. I believe they are trying to emphasize the difference between the Democrat approach to this and the Republican approach. So, but as I said, that's not really what you need to focus on. What you really need to focus on is what's going on with the actual banking, you know, how they can use banks, and the tax laws. Those two things are what you really need to focus on.
Now, AI again, is NVIDIA become a monster company that deserves to be worth $3 trillion?
Yes. That's my short answer. Now, we do own NVIDIA. We have triple-digit percentage gains. You know, people should have bought it a long time ago. This is actually the second time we've owned it. We took triple-digit percentage gains the first time, sold it because I thought it was coming to a peak, which it did kind of a little bit. Then we bought it again. Now it's up again. Is it going higher? I believe it is. Is it pricey? Absolutely it's pricey. It just can get a lot more pricey. When you look at what's going on, they are providing all the high-end chips. Intel tried to. I actually made a bullish bet on Intel thinking they would work something out, but so far they've come up with a big fat zero. So that's unfortunate for them. We had to close out that position at a small loss. You know, it just wasn't working out for us. So NVIDIA seems to be the game in town right now. Now, it won't always be that this way. That's absolutely true. But I would point something out to your listeners. At one time, NVIDIA had nothing to do with artificial intelligence. What did it make its name as? Gaming chips. You know, it made these high-end chips that made computer games process smoothly and all this stuff. And so everyone thought that was really cool. Then they became the chips you owned when you wanted to mine for cryptocurrencies. You know, and so everybody had to have NVIDIA chips to do that and all that stuff. This is the third go-round. AI is the third go-round. This is NVIDIA's third trip to the trough. They're going to come up with something else. They're just run by very smart people that seem to be three steps ahead of the competition. So I wouldn't bet against them. If anyone's thinking of like shorting them or buying puts on them, good luck. You know, short term, you might have some luck. You might have some luck, but I think that they are going higher. Now, they are coming up to a 10-to-1 stock split. Great for my subscribers. I have no problem with that. And that will bring it down to the realm where people will be more comfortable either buying it or selling it. So we'll see how things look, but I am definitely bullish on NVIDIA.
Sean, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on? Perhaps the meme stocks that, again, seem to be rearing their ugly little heads?
So I saw that 300,000 people were online waiting for the guy who's driving this thing in GameStop to start speaking. They aren't investors. They're marks. They're suckers. They're being played by other people in the market. Now, I suppose we really shouldn't scoff at what anyone does with their money. God knows I've lost money on things. I'm not going to look askance at anyone. But if you think you're going to make money on GameStop when the smart people with the faster computers are already positioning for that, I'm just going to say it's going to be very difficult. So good luck to you on that. I hope you make a lot of money. I just don't think you're going to. I think that the easy money will be made by other people. But you know what? One thing I will leave you with is we hear more and more negativity about this market, including from some people I work with. They're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. The economy is going great. Corporate profits are rising. The one sticking point is the high interest rates. But you know what? I still think we're going to have two rate cuts this year. We'll see how that goes, because Canada, I'm sure you know this, has already cut its rate. ECB already cut its rate. That makes it easier for the U.S. to cut, and I think it will. I think in September or so it will. But we'll have to see how that goes. There are some things wrong with this market, and I wouldn't blame anybody for pointing those out. I'm just saying there's a whole lot more things that are right. And so I do want to be long this market, because I think we're going to have a very good year. We've already had a good year. I just think it's going to get better.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.